This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let's continue. We invited Louis Sheehan, amongst other listeners, to come on the Paracast and see what happens. What happens is a very engaging discussion. Guys, you were about to get into it with each other on some topics. Go ahead.
No, actually, I want to compliment him. That's an interesting thought, and I'm sorry if I spoke over you, Gene. You know, I guess I have been wanting some sort of validation, but in fact, it's not necessary. It's just a question of waiting for them to make themselves accessible. I guess that's basically the point, because even if the government were to say, yes, they're there, that, what would that really change? It wouldn't change much, would it? Other than us being astounded by their honesty for a change. Other than that, I guess not much would really change.
Well, I don't think that people would even believe them anyhow. How many people believe everything the government tells us anyway? So how much validation would we really get? We would need something really definitive. We'd need pictures from the Mars rover or some space probe of another craft or the remnants or of a city on another planet or something like that that are indisputable, really. And even then there would be skeptics. People still don't believe we've been to the moon, some of them.
There you go. Yeah. Good points. Very good points. Gene, your thoughts?
Once somebody has an ironclad opinion about anything, changing that opinion is just impossible. They're going to stick to it. It could be about politics. It could be about anything. And only a small number will look at possibilities. And when they do, it's probably because they don't have a final opinion on something. So amongst all you people here, I don't know that UFOs are spaceships. Maybe they are. It could be something else. There could be an interaction between us and our environment that is culturally dependent. So I know that's an ongoing discussion. But not taking an ironclad opinion, because when you look through strange things being seen in the skies over the centuries, you have to wonder what's going on and whether our point of view is close enough to the truth or is being overly simplistic. Or we're just interpreting it in our current understanding. We live in the Star Trek universe, therefore the things we see in the sky, on the ground, whatever, are manifested that way. And if something else takes over 50 years from now, UFOs will be that.
Well, like Vallée said, his books, I believe he says that he didn't think that there's anything more treacherous than the term unidentified. And so it really boils down to how we look at what the phenomena represents, what we mean by the word itself. So what we have is a discussion that involves sort of a fudging around of people's views about what it means in order to substantiate whatever their belief system is. And I prefer to go back and try to look at the historical evidence for the development of the word and the meanings and what it comes down to in terms of ufology as a field of study, as opposed to sort of a personal preference or belief system. And when we go that route, then we're only left with a certain number of possibilities, and that boils down to some sort of alien craft in terms of what we mean. So, Gene, while you're absolutely right that there could be a number of explanations for the phenomena that's reported in UFO reports, that doesn't mean that what's in the reports necessarily is of a UFO or an alien craft. And I think there's a lot of confusion about that. So that's why people in the media will say, oh, a UFO, well, that just means an unidentified flying object, literally. But that's really far from the actual definition that the Air Force itself came up with, and they're the ones who developed the term. So we're kind of misled into this idea that, well, UFOs could be anything, but really that's not the case.
So you have a different view of the meaning of UFO.
Well, I wouldn't say I have a different view.
Well, you know, it was coined by Edward Ruppelt, And he described the process in his book, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects.
Right.
And I don't see him assuming that a UFO must be a spaceship.
Well, that's the whole thing. You see, they couldn't just come out and say that, and he knew that. And so what they did is they evolved the definition for reporting over a number of iterations in order to sift it down and distill out from the overall reports the very specific types of phenomena that they're looking for. And when you do that, you get into something like Air Force Regulation 202 from February 5th, 1958. And that goes into it in quite some detail, and it really leaves no uncertainty about what it is they're looking for. They're saying that they're looking for everything else but natural, known, man-made objects, even secret projects, and even the possibility of things that could be secret projects or secret aircraft. Those are excluded from the official definition of UFO in that regulation. So, you know, what are we supposed to see as being left over other than some sort of alien craft? You know, they've done everything but just come out and say it.
Well, I think you can look at it that way. You can also look at it as this is a way to accommodate all possible explanations for UFOs, because there isn't a category called spaceships. There's a category called unknown. If after you do the investigation, you can't find a suitable answer, you call it unknown. You don't call it spaceship. There's no category called spaceship. You can say unknown must be spaceship, but that also is debatable.
They wanted to avoid that, and of course, spaceship, well, that's a more specific term. I mean, if we call it alien, that doesn't necessitate anything that's extraterrestrial. The interstellar hypothesis is reasonable, but we can't be sure that that's the case with what we know out here in the public. But what we can say is that the definitions were designed in such a way to eliminate anything but something that was really alien, because that is what they were looking for. And, I mean, we could get very specific here in terms of the definitions if we wanted to. But you know, that's really, I guess people would just have to take my word for it or go to the USI site and look it up, because I did quite extensive research on the origin of the word, where it comes from, and how that definition evolved. And so that's how it comes down in terms of ufology as a field of study. But to the average person, they don't think of it that way. It sort of really gets muddy and murky, and I think that it's responsible for a lot of confusion.
The average person, when you say UFO, they do think spaceship.
Overwhelmingly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it implies spaceship, but it doesn't necessitate spaceship. And I think that's reasonable because, as I was saying, the interstellar hypothesis is a reasonable hypothesis.
The thing you have to bear in mind, Randall, is this. We're looking at UFOs when that term was coined from an early 50s perspective, where you have all possibilities of conventional objects and phenomena, and the only thing left to them was the spaceship explanation. Nothing else was involved. Nothing else was considered. Therefore, unknown became the equivalent of a spaceship, because probably in the point of view of those who created that terminology and the project headed by Captain Ruppelt, were that's what you were talking about. Either it's all these other things or it's spaceships. There's no other conclusion. And if anything, then if you take it that way, that the UFO in the end must be a spaceship if there's no other explanation, that's because the definition is limited. It doesn't take into account interdimensional craft, collective unconscious, any of this other stuff. It doesn't take into it. It wasn't even on their radar.
Well, they did consider the psychological state of the witnesses when they were interviewing.
Right, but you see, in those cases, they're looking for people who might be a little crazy. The psychological state is, well, this person's crazy. They're seeing things. You see?
But in a sense, this is exactly why there's so much confusion.
Well, we'll go into this argument, it's no argument, over the meaning of UFOs or whether it even makes a difference. Lucian is one of our listeners who is kind of becoming the questioner of Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, let me tell you a few things. The number of elderly residents is expected to nearly double by 2050. 10,000 boomers hit retirement age or turn 65 every day. One in six working adults cares for an aging relative. Now let me tell you about Care.com. You see, Care.com is the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing all kinds of family care. And it's especially good for helping families find high-quality senior care for their loved ones. You can browse local caregivers to find the ones that meet your needs. You know, I wish we had a service like Care.com around when my mom became ill very many years ago. And here's a special offer for Paracast listeners. You can save 30% off a Care.com premium membership by going to www.care.com/Paracast.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters. Starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available, comfortable interiors, and state-of-the-art air filtration systems, Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now, or visit atlassurvivalshelters.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So as we look this over, Randall Murphy, Lou Sheehan, we can debate till the end of time the significance of the term UFO, but I'm just saying, to the people involved, like Edward Ruppelt, it was either conventional or spaceship. There was no third option. conventional being conventional objects or phenomena, which could include people with psychological difficulties, people seeing things, people having delusions, or spaceships. That was it. Now, we could look at UFOs today and say, it's something we haven't figured out yet. We can expand the definition. If you look at it the way you're looking at it, Randall, yeah, it's spaceships because the people who created the term didn't have any other framework of reference.
Well, actually, what they were saying is that it's likely that they're interplanetary. They didn't say for certain that they're interplanetary. What it boils down to is that it's still something alien. It was outside of anything that they know how to explain in terms of any current knowledge that we have. So the term alien, I think, is a lot more apropos than saying extraterrestrial. And this is how, at least this is how we define it here in at USI in terms of ufology as a field of study. Sure, it might be that there's phenomena that's caused by some natural, maybe some sort of creature that we don't know of, let's suppose, that's flying around. But that gets into something like cryptozoology. It's not ufology. It's something else. So what we're looking for specifically is some sort of an alien craft. And that's how it's defined, at least to the best of my research, in a historical sense, which is far more objective than simply what I want to believe. So this is what we're left with.
To your point of view, Randall, yes. But I'm not looking for a spaceship. I'm looking for the answer. Well, if the answer is a spaceship, cool, that's fine. If the answer is something else, I'm looking for that too. So if, when you look for a spaceship, by God, you might find one.
Maybe. That's just like if you look for a black hole, you might find one. But at the beginning, people have to have some idea about what it is they're looking for and what they mean by that in order to advance their study of whatever it is that they're trying to figure out. So that's the case that I make, is if we just make it so broad and nebulous that we don't know what we're talking about anymore, the field itself loses focus. And so we really do need something that narrows down what it is we're talking about in a concrete way. So I do that from a historical perspective in as objective way as I can in order to make it clear what it is we're looking for. And again, you know, I'm not saying spaceship. I'm saying that's a reasonable hypothesis, but it may not be the actual answer.
I think we don't need to debate the terminology. I don't think it takes us anywhere. It doesn't solve anything. Does UFOs accommodate all this other stuff? What were they thinking in 1953 when they were looking at UFOs about the possible answers? Now, with Captain Ruppelt, it was kind of strange because you got the impression from the first part of the book, the original book, that he believed there were spaceships because it got to that impression. And then when he did the three chapters before his death, he said, no, I'm positive they don't. He used that phrase. I'm positive they don't, in terms of UFOs being real. He felt then, he decided, well, it was just conventional stuff. And it sounded to some people that he didn't even write those last three chapters. But to me, I think it was within the same writing style. In fact, what reminded me of that is that the original report on unidentified flying objects was written very much the way Kehoe would write a book.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they knew each other at the time.
I remember a section of one of Kehoe's books where he went into great detail about Ruppelt's concerns over the pressure he was confronting about that book, that the book was too positive about UFOs. And he felt, I guess, that he was forced into writing those last three chapters.
Yeah, and that may have been the case, that there was some pressure on him to sort of abide by the Condon Report recommendations and the Robertson Panel recommendations.
Right, but the Condon Report wasn't out when Ruppelt was alive.
Yeah.
Ruppelt died in the 1950s in his late 30s of a heart condition. He died very shortly after he wrote those three chapters.
Right.
I won't say that he died because of the pressure of writing those chapters, probably because he had a heart condition. And something today we deal with without as much trouble, but not in the 1950s.
Right,
he was basically responding to what was happening at the time. And remember, Ruppelt also wanted to make a mark in private industry, make a living, that kind of thing. And maybe this helped, he thought, to improve his standing. Okay, he's not the UFO guy. He didn't believe it. Maybe he'll get a job somewhere.
That's my suspicion. You know, I was thinking, if I may say something, Stan Friedman is not a young pup anymore. You may want to get him on and get some people really prepared to grill him and let him defend himself in a pretty contentious forum.
You're volunteering.
I am. And if you were, we were set up like that, I would read his books. I'm a fan, so I would, hopefully I would be polite about it. But as you're aware, there's a lot of skepticism about Roswell, and maybe we should really, you know, put Stan to the test and let the listeners decide. But Stan is a wealth of information, much of it unpublished. For example, there's Blue Book, I believe it's 1 through 12 that was released to the public. 14, I believe, was released to the public. There's a missing Blue Book 13, Volume 13, that no one has been able to find. The official explanation seems to be wink, wink, nod, nod. Nobody likes number 13. But Stan has told me that he has heard from more than one source that it exists and it has not been released to the public. Little tidbits like that, I think, would really enrich the field to have that stuff on the record. But getting back to grilling Stan, who, again, is not getting any younger, that might be a pretty good thing. I don't understand, and I wish Chris were here, why Ray Stanford has not put out a book. And maybe you guys will be able to address that in another installment of your show. When Chris is back on or Ray is back on, I would like to know why he's so reserved in putting out information. Those are some suggested topics for you in the future.
Well, we've covered that in terms. We've asked Ray about that.
Good. Go ahead. What was his answer then?
Well, he's not ready yet. You know, when he's ready, he'll publicize it. The problem is here is that here's somebody who has had heart problems. He's in his late 70s. I'd have to look up his age. And there is a point here where you better do it, or I fear you may not be around to do it. We don't know. He may live another 20 years and do fine. But we don't know. What we do know is that we've got another half of a show to do. We're only partway there. Louis Sheehan is one of our listeners serving as a questioner, a panelist, with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
rehabilitation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, I should remind you again, we have a second radio show after the Paracast, and it's unpredictable. We never know from week to week what we're going to do. We're going to finish an interview or do other stuff. If you want to listen to that show and download the show every week, like clockwork, you have to join the Paracast Plus, a special subscription service for a low price. Our price cheap, $1.49 a week, $4.99 a month. But we like to push the 5-year and lifetime because you get free books. Go to plus.theparacast.com. More video content is coming, and you get the commercial-free version of the show. Louis Sheehan is someone who has been a regular listener to the show and participant in our forums. And we had a roundtable offer, and he volunteered. He stuck his neck out, and he's in the thick of it right now, right?
Yeah. I'm prepared, you might add. If I'd been allowed some time, if I'd done in advance, I would have been much better prepared. But here's another thought for you. When you can, when you get Paul Kimball back on, and I know at least in the past he's been a frequent guest or participant, ask him about his movie, the top 10 sightings. I believe he said he's in his own mind, and I believe he's even published somewhere some retractions as to some of his the claims in his movie. And I'd like to have a more detailed explanation as to what he's retracted and why. So there's another set of questions for you, Gene.
Well, let's just see. Paul will be back soon. In fact, he was on After the Paracast some weeks back. So he'll be back soon. We were actually going to have him on last week or the week before. The episode we did with Greg Bishop and Randall and Chris and I. And it ended up that he couldn't make it. He had to do something for his real life as opposed to this life. But I'm hoping that we'll hear from him soon. So he stays in touch. You know, he participates in the forums every so often. He's doing another season of that ghost show that he did some years back, a new version of it. So I'm sure he's going to want to get the word out about Haunted. He had a forum thread about it. And we'll definitely, definitely 1,000% be back.
Well, I'm just, again, prompting or urging you to ask him about his movie and what views of his have changed over time. Because I've watched his movie several times, enjoy it greatly. And it's free, by the way. It's on YouTube for free. I don't know if your listeners know that, but that's out there for you. I want to hear more about your life and what you've been doing these past couple of decades, other than running the Paracast. Have you been making any individual investigations, or are you more the reporter type?
I've always been the reporter type because my background is broadcast journalism. So I have a multiple history in UFO research. I went straight through from the 50s to the mid to late 70s, and then I took a hiatus for about a decade because I just ran into a situation where I just couldn't do it anymore, and I had to earn a living. I was newly married and had to do different things that took a lot of my time. And then my wife got involved trying for a singing career and came very close. And then our son was born. So it got really complicated in the late 80s. I started drifting back into it off and on, put out a magazine for a few years, watched the wheels go by, and then in 2006 came the Paracast. That covers a lot of it.
And which guests have you found the most intriguing?
Well, you see, that's an interesting thing. I just finished putting up nearly 400 episodes of the Paracast on YouTube. And for much of that, I didn't have a very good internet connection at the time. So it took a while. But we're done with it now. We might start putting up the older episodes from 2006 through 2010. That will come later. But when you're talking about that many episodes, we have a lot of very interesting guests. I'm always treasure the sessions we did with Jim Moseley. Jim was on our first episode with Brad Steiger, and he came on every so often, and he was fascinating. And then, in terms of guests, Dr. Jacques Vallée was certainly one of our better guests. We actually had him on the show one more time than you hear. And this is kind of weird. We've mentioned it before. We did a recording, 1 hour. First hour, going well. Something happened to the recording. And Jacques didn't have time to go on and redo it. So that show died without ever being aired. Most of what he said, though, was later discussed. We had him back on the Paracast for an hour, very recently for a full session. And he'll rejoin us later this year. He was among my favorites. Now, for various reasons, we've had other guests over the years. I'm looking at the list right now, the full list. And the reason is some of those guests were not, shall we say, of the most honest or accurate.
Sean David Morton.
Well, Sean David Morton was actually on the Paracast, I think, in our first year. I'm going to look right now.
Yeah, very early, very early. I went back and listened to the show for fun.
Well,
he was early.
He was, yes, he was on May 23rd, 2006. We had him on for the full episode, which was 90 minutes then. And then after he was on, we took apart what he said. Because the problem with what he said is most of it was nonsense. He claimed to know this, that, and the other thing. He claimed to be friends with various people. Ended up, So that was interesting. Another interesting show we did was with Michael Horn. And I thought we did two shows with him. And we did, yes. We did June 27th, 2006. And 2 weeks later, we had debate between him and our original co-host, David Biedney, in which David had done a photo analysis of some of the Billy Meyer photos and tore them apart. Now, whatever you say to Michael Horn, a politician would love him. He is totally loyal to his subject. He's like the Sean Spicer of the contactee movement, who would tell any lie to advance the interests of his client, if you call Billy Meyer a client. Okay? So that's the resemblance I can see. I thought that was an interesting episode, precipitated forum discussions that went on and on. In another way, the appearance of abduction investigator Dr. David Jacobs was interesting and telling, especially the most recent time, because he is a very polarizing figure. To put it mildly, a very, very polarizing figure. Some people like what he did, what he's done. Other people think that he is completely incompetent when it comes to doing hypnosis. He doesn't observe the proper cautions, and thus his evidence is very tainted. And when he got into this interaction with a former subject who started, I don't know, some people say that she stalked him, but certainly followed him around and sent anyone who would listen lengthy criticisms of his work. We're not going to mention her name because her name was fake anyway. As a result of that, whenever we'd bring up the subject in our forums, it got wacky. You may have seen this, Lou. Anytime we mentioned David Jacobs and that other person, the forums just kind of got bent out of shape. So we haven't had him on because I don't think he liked us after that show, David Jacobs. I thought he felt that we were pushing him too hard.
And are you going to express your opinions of Dr. Jacobs or not? Let's talk about his work, not about his the unfortunate situation with his one test subject.
Now let's do a break first, okay? We'll continue with our discussions and our responses to Lewis Sheehan's questions with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue. Chris O'Brien on special assignment, kind of getting a few personal things together. Randall Murphy is our guest co-host again. Louis Sheehan is one of our listeners, who's here to ask us questions that we do not expect. There is no preparation for it. He understands now the way the show is done, which is we may know directions in which we're taking, but we don't know what a listener is going to ask, what a guest is going to ask us. We just go on and on. So you were starting in something. You were asking more about reactions to David Dr. Jacobs. David.
Correct. And again, we're just focusing on his hypnosis and his theories that he's developed or his explanations that he's developed and not relating to the unfortunate situation with his one female test subject.
Well, let's put it this way. Kevin Randall co-authored a book looking into the usefulness of hypnotic regression to get accurate information from somebody. And he's not impressed. We had him on the show discussing it. I worry about any case that involves primarily someone's memories recovered through hypnosis. I worry when someone asks leading questions and then says, as David Jacobs said, it doesn't matter. There's no such thing. Of course there is. If you're taking a person under hypnosis and you are somehow manipulating them to give you a certain answer, you may get the answer you want. You may get the answer you expect, but it may not be what really happened. So I think he does his subjects a disservice because I think there are lots of sincere people out there who genuinely have an experience they cannot explain. That's the abduction experience. They have no idea what's gone on with their lives. Some people are really, really traumatized as a result. And I'd like to know what happened to them. Now, some people feel that this phenomenon is separate from the normal UFO sighting experience. I think Jerome Clark feels that way. We know that people like our friend Red Pill Junkie, Miguel, he feels that near-death experiences and UFO abductions have a startling similarity. And he wrote an article for the Paracast newsletter saying why. When you look at that, you could say, well, people who are having abductions may be interacting with something, but maybe the reason that it appears to be UFO-related is strictly because that's the culture in which they live. That if they lived at a different time, they'd interact with something else. Could be leprechauns or something else. Right. You see what I mean?
I do. If you're asking me that question, a brief anecdote from my end. I moved to California a few years ago, and I looked up some UFO groups. I'd never joined one, and only one person responded. And this lady told me that she had alien DNA. But I could tell from her behavior that there were a lot of issues she had. I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist, and but it was clear she had some significant issues, and I know she was on a lot of medication. And I came to the same conclusion, that if she had lived 300 years ago, she would say she had leprechaun DNA or something like that. Which brings me to the next question. Have you read Valet's book? I don't even know the title because I've not read it, but about Patagonia. And what could you summarize that book for your listeners? Because I know so many people speak of it with reverence, but I've not had the time to read it.
Passport to Patagonia.
Talk about that book a little bit.
That's where he goes into a lot of mythology that parallels the UFO phenomena. And beyond that, you just have to read the book and go through the number of stories and accounts that he deals with in the book itself. My comment on it typically is that, well, it's natural for us to try to explain what we don't understand given the knowledge that we have at the time. So we have to be careful about assuming that simply because somebody perhaps in the past might interpret it one way, that modern interpretations are no more accurate than theirs. In other words, people used to think that thunder was the hammer of the gods, and now we know that that's different because we've looked at it with a critical mind and we have scientific thinking. We're much better educated, and therefore I think there's a hierarchy of theories that in modern day tend to carry more weight than, say, something from the 1800s or classical antiquity. So we have to be careful about saying, oh, well, you know, UFOs could be anything. It doesn't matter. It's all mythology. I don't buy into it. I don't. And in our recent interview with Valet, you know, we did cover that to some degree, and he admits, well, you know, mythological concepts don't have radar returns. So, you know, we're looking at something that is materially real, not mythological.
But is this like gestalt now that I hear in this era that UFOs are not necessarily nuts and bolts coming from other planets, that they could be interdimensional or some other explanation, something along the lines of what Gene was saying? Is this like going along or substantiating the logic that Gene was kind of expressing, that UFOs shouldn't be understood to be such a narrow interpretation, I guess, until they're proven, until we have some right in front of us and we can drive some around? Is that what you're getting at, Gene?
I think we should look as much on the form as the substance, because the form may not be what it really is. We don't know that's really that. We see it that way because of our culture. But if this is a race of people or beings who've come here from other star systems, say, and they're hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, if they're 1,000 years ahead of us, or 5,000, or 10,000, would we even recognize their means of travel? Their means of travel is viewed in the image of Star Trek, say. You know, we have Star Trek, we have physical spaceships doing physical things. But that's depicting humanity in the 23rd century. And we assume 250, 300 years from now, that's what things are going to be. Because that's what our sci-fi writers have dreamed up. What's going to happen 1,000 years from now, 5,000 years from now? Can they go from one place to the other like the Q continuum beings do? Would we even see them the way they really look? Could we even perceive their technology as technology? Because we perceive Star Trek in relation to our technology, or it influences our technology in certain ways, like the StarTech clamshell mobile handset from the 90s, from Motorola. Possible tablets like an iPad, although 2001 A Space Odyssey depicted tablets as well. Inventions that are based on Star Trek technology. I mean, scientists are looking into matter transportation, teleportation devices, They're looking into warp drive. And this is all based on our cultural image that brings us Star Trek. And even Star Wars, if you get past the mystical stuff and the Force, is still physical spaceships doing physical things.
That's why we look at it as here as alien instead of necessarily extraterrestrial, and craft in terms of some sort of a transport mechanism, something that gets them from there into our perceptual frame of reference. So, you know, we don't know that it's riveted metal pieces of craft necessarily. We do have some pretty strong circumstantial evidence to suggest that some of the reports are of those kinds of craft. But we have to be careful, I agree, in making assumptions about the full range of them, because they may not be that type of thing. But simply calling them alien craft, I think, gives us a wide enough field of possibility and fine enough focus that we can make the subject less nebulous and give us something to look into that doesn't include just every wild theory that could be out there that makes no sense.
Yes, but you still are looking at it in terms of our Star Trek framework. So maybe it isn't quite what we see. Maybe we see it that way because of what they're doing or what we perceive. It could be something else, but we still say, okay, E.T. is very highly advanced, and they manifest themselves in a way we understand, like they did in Contact, where E.T. manifested itself, himself, herself, to the Jodie Foster character as her late dad because we couldn't accept his true appearance. Or maybe that was a dream experience. It all happened in her head. Because remember, although she imagined or thought she traveled to another planet revolving around another star system in that device, she really didn't go anywhere physically. So where did she go? How did she go? And is that another image of how E.T. gets here? If there's an E.T., is that what they do? Or is it even an E.T.? Again, we might be dealing with some kind of consciousness that we can't even understand. 100 years from now, we may have UFOs and have a totally different idea. We have J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg, Lewis Sheehan. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter pack, light wet wood, can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils water in under 3 minutes. Temps up to 1,500 degrees. Free shipping on anything. Go to InstaFire.com/radio specials and get yours today. InstaFire. Fire in an instant. InstaFire.com/radio specials.